Welcome back to the Indiscriminate News Network. I'm Jason. All right, let's jump into it. Get some really interesting headlines, of course. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has ordered at least two people executed, banned fishing at sea, and locked down the capital, Pyongyang, as part of a frantic effort to guard against the coronavirus and its economic damage. South Korea's spy agency told lawmakers Friday, so Kim's government also ordered diplomats overseas to refrain from any acts that could provoke the United States because it's worried about President-elect Joe Biden's expected new approach towards North Korea, lawmakers told reporters after attending private briefing by the National Intelligence Service. One of the lawmakers, Ha Tae-kung, quoted NIS as saying Kim is displaying excessive anger and taking irrational measures over the pandemic and its economic impact. He said the NIS told lawmakers that the North Korea executed a high-profile money changer in Pyongyang last month after holding the person responsible for failing for a falling exchange rate. Whoa. Wow. He quoted the NIS saying that North Korea also executed a key official in August for violating government regulations restricting goods brought from abroad. The two people weren't identified by name. Boy, that's brutal. Some more news out of Asia. So some pig intestines are flying around as Taiwan politicians spar over U.S. pork imports. Taiwan has seen politicians throw punches, chairs, and even water bottles during periodic spectacular bouts of parliament violence. But when pigs fly, that's when something gets heard of. Members of the opposition, KMT, that's Kuomintang, on Friday threw pig hearts, intestines, and lungs to other innards, leaving the chamber's crimson carpet streaked with ropey strands of intestines and milky viscera, as they protested the ruling party's decision to allow imports of U.S. pork that contains the additive ractopamine. More than 100 countries banned meat with the additive, which is used by the U.S. pig farmers to promote leanness, but frequently poses an obstacle when it comes to exporting abroad. Washington is pressed a successive Taiwanese administration to lift the ban on meat from pigs given ractopamine-laced feed, but the issue has been highly charged in Taiwan, where politicians and industry groups have warned about the adverse health effects of the additive. After a landslide victory this year, the successful eliminating the coronavirus domestically, Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen spent significant political capital lifting the ractopamine ban in September in a bid to smooth over relations with the Trump administration and pave the way for a comprehensive bilateral trade. I'm curious what direction the relationship with Taiwan is going to go with Biden now in office. Is it going to go to a more traditional stance where the U.S. is kind of standoffish and, you know, letting China and Taiwan do its thing, or taking a more active role? And either siding with China more or siding with Taiwan more. Some news out of Korea here. So Hyundai and Kia agree to pay $210 million in auto safety civil penalty. Honda Motor Company and Kia U.S. units on Friday agreed to pay a record $210 million civil penalties after U.S. auto safety regulators said they failed to recall 1.6 million vehicles for engine issues in a timely fashion. The U.S. National Highway Traffic Administration said the two affiliated Korean automakers agreed to consent orders after said it would inaccurately recorded some information about the agency to the recalls. Hyundai agreed to a total civil penalty of $140 million, including an upfront payment of $54 million and an obligation to spend $40 million on safety performance measures. I wonder how much money they would have saved if they just taken care of it. An additional $46 million deferred penalty if it does not meet the requirements. Kia's civil penalty, $70 million, include an upfront payment of $27 million, requirements to spend $16 million, and a potential $27 million deferred penalty. It's critical that manufacturers appropriately recognize the urgency of their safety recall responsibilities and provide a timely and candid information to the agency about all safety issues, NHTSA Deputy Administrator James Owen said. So this is out of Belarus. Remember all the trouble in Belarus? Well, Lukashenko, the president, said, I will resign once Belarus adopts a new constitution. I will not work as president with you under the new constitution, he said. President Alexander Lukashenko says, without specifying when that day would come. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko said he will leave his post after a new constitution is adopted. I will not work as president with you under the new constitution. Lushenko did not specify that day will come, but stressed the need for amendments to the Constitution and adjustments for presidential powers. Come on, that's freaking hilarious. The veteran leader told the New Jays that he is in favor of amending the Constitution, including adjusting the head of state's powers to prevent disasters if given an unknown president. I'm not going to shape the Constitution to suit my needs. I'm not going to be the president once a new Constitution is in place. Curious how long that will be till they do it. This is news out of China here. They're stepping up the penalty on intellectual property theft. So China's new patent law awards damages up to 5 times the losses. With a higher cap than U.S., Beijing spur technology advances and foreign investment. China will strengthen its intellectual property protections next year, raising the cap on damages from patent infringement to 5 times the holder's loss, higher than 3 times the U.S. and other advanced economies. So basically, if you steal something, you get caught, they're going to charge you 5 times the amount of penalty. Self-reliant technology development is one of China's Communist Party's objective under its next 5-year plan, running from 2021 to 2025. By establishing tougher protections for intellectual property, Beijing is trying to encourage research into cutting-edge technology at home. That is going to be a very hard sell, considering its past of basically how it got to its point, but basically stealing everybody's intellectual property and making it their own. So under the tougher patent law that takes in effect June 2021, serious intentional violators will take damage up to 5 times the amount of the loss of the patent holder. Current law only states the penalties are determined based on either the loss suffered by the holder or the gains reaped by the infringer. The U.S., South Korea, and Taiwan cap such penalties at 3 times the loss to the patent holder, while Japan and Europe do not award punitive damage for patent infringement at all. Well, then, if you're going to steal something, go to Europe, apparently. Okay, I'm going to finish off with this one. How are the American-made Pakistani F-104As lost out to India's MiG-21s? This is back in the day. The 1971 conflict is a case study in Soviet-American weapons going head-to-head. Even today, the debate continues why Pakistan lost that engagement. Was it due to tactics and numbers more than technology? 1971 first supersonic air combat over the Indian subcontinent was fought. Indian Air Force IAF MiG-21s squared off against Pakistan Air Force PAF F-104As starfighters. The MiG-21 came squarely out on top, downing between 3 to 5 F-104s before the MiG really... But was the MiG really a better aircraft, or was it a success due to the better strategy and numerical supply of the IAF? The showdown between the two aircraft was long anticipated, as the F-104 and the MiG-21 in many ways were rival designs, both light supersonic interceptors with a small secondary multi-role capability. Both entered service in the late 1950s. The F-104 used straight wings and the MiG-21 used delta wings. While the two aircraft were in Vietnam for a short period in 1960, they did not face each other in combat. India first took deliveries of the MiG-21s, the F-13 variant, to augment their aging force of British-built fighters in January 1963. 6 planes were equipped with 28 Squadron first supersonic, 7 pilots from that received training in the USSR. So interesting. I love picking up random things like that. All right, everybody. This is Jason with the Indiscriminate News Network. Thanks for listening. Make sure that follow, subscribe button. I hope everybody's holiday is going well. Take care. Bye.